We are back with Kate Lochte and Jerome Penner of the Murray Callaway County Hospital. Good morning, Ms. Penner.
Hey, good morning, Todd. Good morning, Kate. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to speak with you today on the radio. And always a great support of WKMS.
We sure do appreciate your listening to Suspicious Minds with us as we cleared up the phone issues. And today we are talking some mighty complicated issues with you as we chatted before. I'd like you to sort of be our kickoff speaker and come back as well in a series of our exploration of healthcare issues related to the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. And I guess I'd like to start with, from the hospital's point of view, what's the immediate scan of issues you're looking at coming into play in your operations? And then if you choose one that we can explore more deeply than the overall look, okay, so then you can come back and we can kind of knock them off one by one.
Well, Kate, I would surely appreciate that, and that's a good approach I think we can start with. And just to start out with, when you talk about the Affordable Care Act, I mean, it's got a whole different slant and a whole bunch of different names out there, whether it be health care reform or probably a little bit more derogatory when you say Obamacare. But I tend to like to use Affordable Care or the Health Care Reform Act, signed into law back in 2010. And I just for fun, I went online and scanned the actual law down here probably in the last half an hour. And just so the viewers, our listeners out there, would know, it's 974 pages. And I got to be honest, I haven't read every single one of the 974 pages or statutes that go along with that. And then to make it even more compromising, I guess, the estimates are about 7.5 feet of policies that have gone along with that particular act. And, you know, even the smartest pundit in the world can't absorb all that information, and unfortunately, just like you've seen in the news in the last couple of weeks, some decisions that were supposed to come to fruition in 2014 just haven't come. For instance, the employer mandate that we've seen in the news in the last couple of weeks or so. So it's changing every single day, but when you look at the general titles of the Affordable Care Act, and they have some great principles involved, and whether you kind of vote for it on a bipartisan act or you vote for it from a standpoint it's good for America, really doesn't matter. The titles we're looking at make a lot of sense. Quality, affordable care for all Americans. The Title II talks about role of public programs. Title III, improving quality and efficiency for health care, and I think we'd all be for doing that. Title IV, a great approach, again, prevention of chronic disease and improving public health throughout the United States. And then we'd all like transparency, and that's something that's been real hot in the news as well. And I won't go through all those titles, and I really want to focus on the top ones there, and that is increasing quality, increasing accountability for our healthcare costs, decreasing costs, of course. And then, I mean, there's no question. We have potentially 40 million Americans out there that don't have access to healthcare coverage, so providing that coverage for Americans. So I think those are four that we could certainly use as, we'll call those intended consequences of the Affordable Care Act. Would that be a fair way to go?
All right. So I've got increasing quality and providing healthcare to everyone. And what were the other two?
Increasing accountability, decreasing costs, and I think you combined one of those, but truly those are the ones we can kind of go with. And I guess decreasing costs could also go in accountability being transparency for your health care bills and things that need to happen. As health care is pretty costly, and people want to know where their dollar is going.
Okay.
I'd like to maybe start today, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay.
Maybe we talk about the increasing coverage to Americans, and that'll stem out a pretty quick conversation. I think people will understand both intended consequences and then the unintended consequences, and maybe part of that particular statute. Would that be okay?
Yeah, bring it home to Murray Callaway County Hospital.
Sure, absolutely. Well, let's start with what the act was designed to do as far as increasing coverage. Well, we all know that it extended the opportunity and forced, if you will, insurance companies to now begin covering and employers to start covering children up to age 26. Again, a lot more coverage. Used to be at age 23, in some cases at age 21, I guess. It also allowed for us to start covering things like pre-existing conditions. Those were many times disqualifying events for families trying to get a child, maybe with born with congenital problems that certainly would be costly throughout their life, or maybe it's those that have heart ailments or other ailments that are going to be chronic, long-term, very, very costly healthcare issues. and they can no longer be denied care. That's pretty much a challenge. And then last but not least is the health care for all. How does that impact Murray Calloway, for instance? Well, let's just take my own employer staff. You know, we being the second largest employer here in Calloway County, we have begun to start looking at, just like other businesses in the area, begin to start looking at the benefits that we provide. So what we've seen is a shift from of risk, if you will, from our insurer, and we'll have to at some point try to start shifting that risk to our employees. Let me give you an example. And as I talk to other businesses in town, I'm starting to see the exact same thing. Let's say that we used to offer a $1,000 deductible for our patients, given their and their premium. Or, no, I'm sorry, our employees and their premiums. As just as a microcosm of the United States, the challenge there is all of a sudden now we're required to take on 3 more years of coverage for their families, as well as those pre-existing conditions. As we begin to go back to getting reinsurance through our carrier, they would ask us to you got to pay more, because we have now absorbed a tremendous amount of risk, because we see in your population of employees that you've got some very sick people. And I'll give you an example. Last year, we had about 25, 26 folks that ended up with, and they didn't wake up in the morning wanting this to happen to them, but they came down with cancer. Now, that could be a very, very expensive proposition over time. And, you know, I didn't fire those employees. They're my employees. Or I didn't fire their beneficiaries, their family members. They're family members. And that's my responsibility to take care of them. But surely our costs went up. As soon as I went back to my insurance carrier, they said, you know, we're going to have to charge you more, Jerry. That's just the way it is. So Murray Calloway is going to have to cost you more. So what we ended up doing is having to have some pass-through to our staff. Like, that is happening. That's playing out across the United States. Businesses are passing through those additional costs, those additional risks that they're getting from their insurance carriers back to their employees. And I talked to one business here in town just in the last 3 or 4 days, and sure enough, their deductible had gone to $5,000. So if you go from a $1,000 deductible to a $5,000 deductible, that's a challenge. And what do you do for if you're a medium to low-income family here, and all of a sudden you know you're responsible for the first $5,000? Given
that's two, amazing, yeah.
It's a fivefold increase. So if you went from 1,000 or maybe even 2,500, maybe you could have afforded the 2,500. So let's talk about the unintended consequences of that. What would you do if you had faced with that sort of decision? The decision would be, well, maybe I need to put that care off. I really don't need that surgery right now. I'd rather buy groceries. I'd rather make sure my children have clothes for school. I'd rather make sure that my child can continue to go to Murray State University. So what we're actually seeing in the hospital is numbers of admissions are actually going down. Now, not only are they going down at Murray Calloway, they're going down across the state. And in a 4-year comparison, admissions in the state of Kentucky per hospital have gone down total. It used to run about 50,000 per month. We're down to 43,000. 8,000 admissions have just evaporated. Are the Kentuckians just more healthy? I don't think so, because what also has happened is there's been a general increase of the acuity of patients that are getting admitted to hospitals. That means they're sicker. They're making the decisions later on because it becomes a financial decision, depending upon who your carrier is, whether it's a commercial carrier or you're a self-pay patient, or even if you're just a patient out there trying to make those financial decisions for yourself. So I hope the listening audience can understand that's the impact of some of the things that are happening. Yes, it's good that everybody gets coverage, but there's a cost that goes with that, and some of that cost is getting passed through. Now, if you're the healthy 40-year-old out there today, or if you're the healthy 18-year-old in the current healthcare reform model, those costs will get passed on to you from your insurance carriers. And the same thing will happen in the exchanges. The cost will be, of course, sort of, you're part of the risk pool, so to speak. So you just can't say that healthcare costs will remain the same when we give healthcare to everybody, because there's got to be a payer. And if you mandate to insurance companies that they will not refuse to take patients that are very, very sick or have chronic diseases, then they've got to pass that cost on somewhere. They just can't absorb that cost. It's too monumental.
What is the business prediction of the full impact of that being felt by the community? I mean, it's starting. When does it become full-blown and people really, really feel it?
Well, I think you're starting to see it now. This act just didn't come to fruition this year, 2013. We're starting to feel some of those painful things now. I think insurance companies are starting to feel it now, and then that's that pass through cost. Now let's talk about the penalties. This was the debate that went on in the last couple of weeks about the employer mandates. If you don't have, if you're not offering a fair level of insurance to your employees, then obviously you'd be penalized for that. But even when you look at the smaller groups out there, this is what the exchanges are all about. As an example, penalty for a business with over 50 employees or over that are working up to 30 hours a week could pay as much as a $2,000 penalty for not offering that insurance. Well, let's look at it from my perspective. Well, I've got nearly 1,200 employees. I would, if I was given that offer, I have to look at that very closely and say, why wouldn't I put my staff or my business folks in an exchange? Because last year I paid nearly $12 to $14 million in healthcare costs, and if I could get away with paying a $5 million penalty. That's a good business decision, but I can tell you the folks that are put into the exchange are not going to be happy because they're going to be competing for care, and that's going to be a challenge. I think our businesses are going to start feeling stretched and making a very hard decision because most of our businesses here in our community are, I have to call them mom-and-pop businesses. And other than maybe Murray State, a large PTL, Briggs & Stratton, Murray Calloway County Hospital. I mean, those are your larger employees, but majority out there are certainly under 50 or less employees. And providing health care is extremely expensive. And as they go back to the drawing board with their own insurers for their own employees, it's going to cost them more and more. And they are going to pass that through. I think they'll feel that in the next year and a half. And some, I can tell you, are feeling it right now. As I expressed, one of the businesses I spoke to had already raised their deductibles. It's not the business that's feeling that pinch. It's going to be the employee that's going to feel that pinch. And we'll continue to see that over time.
Now, you opened the topic of the exchanges. Explain how those will work. Those are being delayed, I understand, in Washington because there are not enough computers or people to process regulations that are non-existent to this time.
Right.
Well, which is a real interesting development for government.
You bet. Well, let's go here with the state of Kentucky. There are, out of the exchanges, all the states in the United States were given the opportunity to decide whether they wanted to go to an exchange or not. They could start their own, they could have it federally funded, or they could come up with some variant. And Kentucky was one of 21 states that said, yes, we're going to do our own thing. The challenge there is they created a panel, and the panel is rapidly trying to ramp up to be ready for our exchange to go on the 1st of October. I'm a little skeptical of that, and I say that from the standpoint of we had some challenges when we implemented, our state administration had some challenges and still having challenges today when we implemented the managed care organizations, which was meant to control and reduce our Medicaid costs here in the area. That is a challenge. We're trying to get buy-in from that. Part of that is the registration process. And what you're speaking to earlier on the federal level is even the United States administration tried to reach out to, Major League Baseball and to the NFL with a target opportunity of reaching out to with their folks that are relatively healthy, 18 to 40-year-old that tend to be fans of baseball and football, and help them get the message across. And, of course, Major League Baseball and the NFL basically said, no, we're not going to play. Nice try, but that's not something we want to get involved in. We're seeing it in the state of Kentucky or even throughout national levels of trying to put what they're calling KY nectars or connectors to really link people within our state that be into these exchanges. So basically signing them up, and that's the major process, just getting people so, one, they understand it, and two, they'd understand what their rights would be under the exchange itself. Because, you know, every American is supposed to basically say, yeah, I'm signing up for health care. Now, Kentucky was given about a $65 million, almost $66 million grant to help establish their exchange. And you think, well, that sounds like a lot of money, with the exception of when you just make the comparison. With Medicaid alone, we spent $1 billion, over $1 billion to our managed care organizations for 800,000 beneficiaries in the last 20 months. And that it was with a B. So that's an awful lot of money. So $65 million will go very, very, very quickly.
Wow.
I hope it continues to work for us well. And the challenge there is I don't even have anything in my hand, or nor do other healthcare providers out there, about how it's going to be run. So we're into almost August, and we're looking to start this with a startup of one October. So there are some challenges out there. Maybe backing it off would have been more reasonable, I would think. But the board will do everything they possibly can. What they're trying to do is set up a tiered system. So these different tiers would be where people would stratify in the level of insurance, so to speak, that they would purchase as part of this, let's call it a insurance marketplace. They would be available to all of the Kentuckians out there. So, again, a lot of this is just a wide open before we finally get there. The one concern I do have about it, Kate, is our state has opted at this point not to publish any metrics along with that. Now, I think that kind of goes not hand-in-hand with what the Affordable Care Act is asking us to do, because part of it is trying to part of what this is designed to do is to improve health care across the United States. And the only way you know if you've improved it is you got to measure it. I have to know if diabetics are doing better. I have to know if those with high cholesterol is being reduced. I have to know if body mass index may be going down with patients. I've got to know children that are to be taken care of. So I'm a little concerned that we don't have any metric systems out there right now, and if they were going to publish those. And it ties back into what's called a value-based purchasing. And value-based purchasing under the Affordable Care Act is a methodology in which we hospitals and providers are graded on how well we're delivering care. So I think, you know, that should trickle down, in my mind anyway, back down to the exchange and doing the same sort of thing. So I hope they come up with a measurement system that allows us to know, and for you and for the public to know, how well we're doing on the establishment of exchanges and if they're having their impact, which is to improve the health care in the state of Kentucky. Now, we rank very, very poorly nationwide in our overall health care. Our state is in the bottom quartile, let's say. If not just the bottom 10%. So we've got to do better, and this is one way we can do that, by making sure we provide the right health care, I think, with the right price at the right time to our Kentuckians out there.
You know, as I said, it's pretty complicated, and we've just started hitting the surface. Next time, let's talk about other effects of the Affordable Care Act on the administration level of Murray Calloway County Hospital. We thank you for your time today, Mr. Penner.
Kate, Todd, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. I'd love to have back on. And this is a subject that's near and dear to all of our hearts. And it's important to those out there that we want to try to take care of. But I think, as we all know, you unfortunately can't get something for nothing. And it's going to definitely cause some impact from a cost perspective as we try to provide that care.
Amen. Take care.
Kate, thank you very much.